Boy, that's good, isn't it? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, as we come before you, we thank you for being our God. We do cry out, hallelujah, because of the work that you have done through your Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord, open our eyes this morning to understand what you would have for us to know. Lord, may your Spirit work deeply in our soul, revealing to us the Son of God, Jesus Christ. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I received a text message this week. It was a picture. And I opened the picture and I saw a wooden ramp. I looked at that wooden ramp and it was in front of someone's home. And at that moment, I understood what that was. That was the men of the church. Being the men of the church. Yesterday, a fence was built. A bed was fixed. Fixtures were put together and made working. And things were tidied up around the house because the men of the church were being the men of the church. They were doing what the men of the church do. And the men of the church do what the men of the church do because they are servants, they are transformed by the power of God, and they have given their life to proclaiming the name of Jesus by the work of their hands. It's the men of the church. And it's not just construction projects or fix-it projects. It's the words that you see behind us every week. It's the classes that are taught. It's the food that's prepared. It's the men of the church being the men of the church. It's the women of the church being the women of the church. Tonight you will see the children of the church being the children of the church. They will stand before you and they will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and his worshipful songs because they're the children of the church. It is the people of the church who do the work of the church because they are what? The church. The church of God does the church of God. And it is for one purpose, and it is for the namesake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I can tell you, the men of the church, the ladies of the church, and hopefully the children of the church know this and are learning this, that it is not for the name that we write on our birth certificate or on our papers. It is for the name that is above all name that we do everything that we do. It is for Jesus Christ. And if that is the hope and the desire of this church, our church will continue to do the work of the church. What a glorious truth that is, brothers and sisters, that the people of the church do what the people of the church do. Tonight, I want to invite you and encourage you again. The dialogue was written by the people of the church. The drama, the narrative that you will hear tonight was written by the people of the church. The music is put together by the people of this church. The music will be played, with the exception of the one song you heard this morning, by the people of the church. This is the people of the church putting together their effort in order to glorify Jesus Christ. This is why we're here. So, church, come support the people of the church tonight, encourage you. But this is what it's all about. This is where Paul has brought us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That if you're eating meat that's been sacrificed to idols, or you're not eating meat that's been sacrificed to idols, whatever you do, do it for the glory and for the name of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open up to 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to begin in verse 31 this morning. 1 Corinthians 10:31. If you haven't been with us, this is what we've looked at last week. Our main theme and main idea was, what question are we asking ourselves? Are we asking ourselves the question, is it okay if I, or are we asking ourselves the question, will it glorify God if I? And that's a big difference in our lives. Is it okay to do this, or is it Christ honoring to do this? Very different questions. And the world asks the first question, the church asks the second. Are we the people of the church? We should be asking the second question. Will it glorify God if I do what I am predicting? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And this is the theme and the thesis of our thoughts this morning. Anything that we do should be to the glory of God. And that is really any decision. He gets down to the minute details of things we do throughout our day often and regularly, and that is eating and drinking. Now, in the context, he's certainly talking about the meat to idols, but watch how he expands that. He didn't anywhere talk about drinking. And here, he talks about drinking. And then he even expands it more. And whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So while we take the idea, God him here, of this meat to idols, he is bringing that truth to expand and cover everything that we do. Whether we touch the ivory on the keyboard, or we touch the computer screen, or whether we touch the medicine jar to take care of someone who needs medicine, or we go sit at the hospital with someone or pray with someone at the hospital, or bring them the bread and the wine, or the bread and the juice, or whatever we're doing, we're bringing them in the name of Jesus Christ, and we're doing in the name of Jesus Christ. This is what it's all about. So church, I want us to just take a step back and say, am I doing what I'm doing for the glory of Jesus Christ? Or is my greater concern my own comfort, my own glory, my own help, my own benefit? Paul says this, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, I want to kind of break this down a little bit and draw some attention to what he's saying here. When he says, do all to the glory of God, well, what does that mean? What does he mean, do it to the glory of God? And I think that's an important question. When we're walking through life and so many people, and maybe even in the church, are so distracted that we don't know what it means to do things to the glory of God. Now, we just heard a beautiful song. And there are responses to that song that happen in many of us. We worship God. We're drawn to say hallelujah and join in the words of hallelujah. But let me tell you what that song is not. It's not meant to say someone is great. It's not meant to proclaim to you that someone is doing a greatness and that someone has great talent. The ramp was not built so that people could see what great carpentry skills that the men of the church have. The classes are not taught so that you think, oh, what a great teacher. No. For the Christian, it should all be, and I said it in Sunday school this morning, we should all disappear in the work that's done so that people see that all glory is to God. In whatever role we're doing in life, my hope is that I disappear in whatever's done and that people see Jesus. Do people see Jesus by the work that I've done? Does he get the credit for the work that I've done? Because it's not about me accomplishing things and people going, oh, wow. We read from the book of John this morning, and that was part of his problem. Part of the problem of the Jews in the first century was all they wanted to do was wear the fine robes and be in front of people so that people would give them credit. And Jesus called them out and said, all you're worried about is getting credit for yourself. You can't even see the glory of God because you're so worried about looking in the mirror. Does God get the credit? And so contextually here, Paul is concerned. Does eating meat give credit, give glory to demons or to Christ? Does not eating meat give credit to demons or to Christ? And this is where our decision lies. Does playing the organ give credit to Jesus or to the organist? Does reciting lines in a play tonight give glory to God? Or does it impress you with the person reciting lines? Does cutting the grass, do you do it to cause your neighbors to glory in your name? Poor herdsmen. Guys watching their shaggy, smelly sheep. Watch what happens in Luke chapter 2. This is beautiful. When the angels went away from them into heaven, after they heard the words of the angels saying, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, with which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Well, the shepherds had a choice. They could have said, "Man, look what happened to us." And people all around could have said, "Man, you're so lucky. You got an angel to talk to you. And that's a once in a lifetime experience. We are so jealous of you." That's not what the angels did. Look, when you sit in the presence of glory, you don't walk out saying how awesome that you are and how great that you are. When you're in the presence of glory, you sit back and you go, "I am so minimal." You disappear. And y'all know this. You've been to things where it's glorious. And it might be a musical performance. It might be a natural scene. It might be an amazing event that happens, or the birth of a child, or a wedding ceremony, or anything. When you sit back and go, "Wow, this is incredible." You don't stand up and puff your chest. And this is our job with Jesus. It is not to say, "Wow, God's gifted me." It's to say, "God is awesome. Look what He does and how creative He is." Glorifying and praising God after all they had seen and heard. They were in the presence of the King. And so they glorified and praised God. Let me throw this into our current realm. Do you ever wonder why creation and the theology of creation is such a big deal? Why it's such a hot topic so often? Did God create the earth? Can we teach that in schools? Movie after movie comes out, textbook after textbook. When you just go peruse the internet or any bookstore, you'll find hundreds of books and thousands of resources and YouTube videos and everything you want about, did God create the heaven and the earth? And some say yes, some say, why is this such a heated topic? Why is this such a heated topic? And I'll tell you why it's such a heated topic. Because it has to do with glory. It has to do with one of the most glorious things that's ever happened. We're here. And many would like to say, "Well, it just happened. It was an act of random what, church? Chance." And by saying it was an act of random chance, at that point you say, "Yeah, God didn't do that. That's chance. See, it just happened to happen." But as a Christian, we go, "Well, you read the scripture and you say, well, that's not what our book says. The book tells us that Jesus created it all. And He did it for a reason. And it is glorious that Jesus created it. All glory be to God." There's a big difference. Do you ever wonder why Weather is such a hot topic. Here's what we did Friday. Oh man, y'all enjoyed Friday, I'm sure, everybody. Except, I know Randall Lejeune, he tripped and fell, and pray for him. He had to have emergency surgery because he fell in the snow. But we enjoyed the snow Friday, didn't we? We enjoyed that. And at the end of the day, we were talking as a family and how we enjoyed it and such. And I told the kids, and I've told many of you, when we see the sunset, and I appreciate Brian's pictures. I think he should step out, but I appreciate Brian's pictures. Whenever Brian has a picture of a beautiful sunset, he'll send me a snapshot. And he'll say, look, God painted the sky. I say, yep, God painted the sky. And every time we see a beautiful sunset, church, you don't say, boy, that's beautiful. You say, God painted the sky, because it gives glory to God. That's what he did. He curved those light rays to create those gorgeous oranges and pinks and reds and shades of red. He's the one that bent those light rays and painted it to declare his glory. Surely the heavens declare what, church? The glory of God, Psalm 19. So what did the Lord do Friday? I told the kids, we don't see it very often down here. He painted the earth. God painted the earth. He painted Plaquemine on Friday. It's a hot topic. Weather is for God's glory. Outer space. Medicine. Oh man, I'm so thankful we have this medicine. Yeah, you know who's healing people today? With all due respect to doctors, and I love doctors, God is healing people today. It is God who is healing people, not doctors. He is using doctors, and I thank God for doctors. Don't get me wrong, but it is God who is healing. He deserves the glory. I hope that every time you sit down for a meal, that you thank God for your food. Because Chick-fil-A didn't make that chicken for you. God gave you that food. And when we sit down to thank God for our food, it is a glorious event that we say, Lord, thank you for providing. And I can give you the names of some people who don't have the meals that we have every day. If you want to talk to some people about it, God gave you that meal. We are thankful for him. This is about glorifying God and every detail of your life is glorifying God. Let me give you one more illustration. It's everywhere. Miss Sherry was telling me they were driving in Houston for her. They were getting some tests done last week for Sherry, and she said there was somebody pulling over and pulling over and pulling over, and they could see them coming toward them. And she said they just EL. I think EL was driving, and he just pulled over because they were about to run into him. And she said they were so thankful there wasn't a car next to them. And it was in a traffic period of Houston traffic, which is five lanes full of cars. And she gave me the story yesterday and said, isn't God good? He was there with us. And when we pulled over, which was the gut reaction, you know, you don't even look sometimes, you just go, and there wasn't a car there. That's God's hand in the traffic of Houston. It's everywhere. Whether you eat, whether you drink, whether you drive in traffic, whether you take a picture with your cell phone, do it all to the glory of God. And that's a big amen, hallelujah. We sing with you ladies, hallelujah. God has done it. This is the way, Christian, we must think. This is the biblical way of thinking. We must be there. Let us not be drawn into secularized thinking and godless framing up of things. He painted the sky. He painted the earth. He is God. He made it. It's his. He does as he wills with it. You are his. He does as he wills with you. He is God. To all glory be to him. This is the Christ-centered thinking that the church must have. I screw screws into wood because God is glorious and He will receive glory for it. But, as we know, there's a problem with our humanity. Isn't there, Eli? There's something wrong in us. There's a problem in our humanity. We often try to steal God's glory. And we say, what a great thing I am. Psalm 106. Watch this. You remember the biblical story, and even Paul has alluded to this biblical story. In Exodus, and the psalmist does too, they made a calf in Horeb, and they worshipped a metal image. You remember, God had just delivered them through 10 magnificent plagues and curses that He placed upon Egypt because they would not let His people go. He goes and He gives them water out of a bitter pond or sea. He parts the Red Sea. He does incredible things. And they come and they build a metal image. And look what Psalm 106 says. Listen to how it says it. This is fabulous. Verse 20. They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. Wondrous works in the land of Ham and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. Look at verse 20 again. They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. The heart of man is to rob the glory of God and give credit to an ox. The heart of man is to take the glory of God and give it to chance. The heart of man is to take the glory of God and give the credit to me. 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 Romans tells us in a similar way. Chapter 1, verse 22 says, claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds and animals and creeping things. And here's what God does in His grace and His glory. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to their impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is forever blessed. Amen. Paul can't even speak of God without blessing Him in a doxology. Friends, if you are here today and you have stolen the glory of God and given it to chance or to yourself or to anything else, I want to tell you that you are in a bad place, because on Judgment Day you will be judged for who you gave glory to. The Bible says that each one is appointed once to die and then to face the judgment. But I also want to share with you the good news of the gospel is that if you are in that place and you are doomed, you can be saved by believing, by entrusting yourself unto Jesus Christ and casting yourself upon His mercy and recognizing your sinfulness and turning away indeed from your sinful ways and embracing Jesus Christ the Lord. And saying, Jesus, save me. You are able. I am entrusting myself to You. I am entrusting my life unto You. Save me. I give You all the glory. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, church. Amen? Amen. Amen. We have been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ because He's able and He is trustworthy enough to entrust ourselves unto Him. So, Christian, We give glory to God. We give credit and glory and honor to God. And we go about the duty of continuing in that. Our salvation is not a one-time experience. It is an ongoing event. It is a process by which we are continually trusting and entrusting and entrusting ourselves unto God to save our soul and to make us right. Christian, it is our job to give credit to God often and freely and spontaneously because He is due. So Christian, I must ask you the question. When is the last time that you gave glory to God? If it gives you pause to think back, then I want to encourage you and say something must not be right. Because this should be a continual process in your life to where when you look at things day by day, when you're eating or drinking or whatever you're doing, you're giving glory to God. And there might need to be a change in the way that your mind is working today. I'm going to tell you, oftentimes I'm running at night and I see the brilliant stars or see a shooting star run above my head and I go, God, you're awesome. You just hurled something through our atmosphere that flamed up and exploded because of the heat of friction so that I could see that you are there. Awesome. Awesome. Awesome God we serve. Scripture tells us He flung the stars out from His fingertips. We can't even comprehend the stars that we know, much less the galaxies far away. Awesome God, glory to His name. And yet, the Scripture says, He's mindful of us. And even with the great creation that He's done, He's mindful of us. I love this quote, and this is something to think of. Church, I love this quote. It's from Martin Luther. Martin Luther said, if I could today become a king or an emperor, I would not give up my office as preacher. Luther said, if I could today become a king or emperor, I would not give up my office as preacher. Because it is how I proclaim the glory of Jesus Christ. So here's the next question I'd like to ask of us. And it is this, how then do we glorify God? How then do we do this? Because a lot of it is an internal, it's an eruption, it's an overflow of worship in our soul. When we see these things and we go, oh God, you're good. I want to overflow and sing. We were singing that Christmas carol, Angels from the Realms of Glory. Oh, good song. What a good song it was. And we overflow and go, yes, 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 I affirm that, yes. But that's not all of it. Psalm 115, verse 1. And I think I missed that reference for you, Wayne. It's Psalm 115, verse 1. And it says this, not to us, O Lord, but to your name give glory. Psalm 115:1, not to us, O Lord, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. This was the psalmist erupting in worship, not to us, but to your name give glory. So church, we are here to not only inwardly worship, but outwardly worship and proclaim, not to us, O Lord, but to your name give glory. And this idea of how do we glorify God? We make His name known. We make His name known. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, we make it known. So church, you answer me this. What is the name of God? What is the name of God? His name is revealed to us in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. the name of Jesus. He is Jesus Christ. This is what defines us, and we know. This is what defines us. As a church, there are lots of churches that come together and say, we believe in God. But not the name of Jesus Christ. And this is when you read through the book of Revelation, you'll see it all over. They're proclaiming the name of Jesus. No other name is worthy. And you go and you do a search in Scripture looking at the name of Jesus. Look at Jeremiah 14:7. This is the Old Testament. Talking about lifting up the name of Jesus. Though our iniquities testify against us, though I am sinful, Jeremiah is saying, act, O Lord, for your name's sake. For our backslidings are many, we have sinned against you. But it's the name of Jesus. Okay, church, so where do we go from here? What do we do with all this? The theology, the understanding, the doctrine is very simple, but it's profound. The doctrine is this: we as a church exist to glorify Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ. How can we do that? Let me give you a few things, and verse 32 is going to help us get there. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Okay, we've understood the truth now. It is about the name of Jesus. It's about glorifying the name of Jesus. How do we do this? Let's look in verse 32 and 33 and see what we get. Give no offense to Jews or Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be what?
Saved.
All right. Let's glorify Jesus, Paul says, in everything that we do. And the practical working out of that is going to be right here. So church, this is for you and for I as much as it was for the church at Corinth. Because Paul is writing to believers. He's writing to the church. And so he says, hey church, glorify Jesus Christ, the name. Glorify the name. Here's how you're going to do it. Give no offense to Jews, to Greeks, or to the church. Don't live in a way that is offensive. And then watch what he says, and then I've got a really good question for you. Just as I try to please everyone and everything I do. Now here's my question for you, and I asked my family this yesterday. I said, if Paul said, don't give offense to anybody, don't give offense to these people, just as I try to please everybody, I've read the New Testament. And I've read the book of Acts, and I've read Ephesians, and you know what Paul does? Paul goes into the churches, and he starts preaching. And you know what the people start to do? They start to get angry. And they pick up rocks, and they start throwing them at Paul. And they pick up their whip, and they start to beat up Paul. And they kick him out of town. And they attempt to take his life. How can Paul then write, well, give no offense to Jews or Greeks or to the church, just as I try to please everyone? How can Paul tell us to do that when he's over there stirring up the hornet's nest? Well, good question, isn't it? Look at verse 33, the end. I think it points us in the answer. Just as I try to please everyone and everything I do, not seeking my own advantage. So here's Paul. Look, we're not stirring people up for our own advantage. Don't be offensive to people for your own advantage. And here's the thought maybe. You know, you're driving your car and someone... And on the way to church Wednesday, I noticed this. There was somebody, they were in a really big hurry. And they were darting in and out every inch, cutting people off in every way, trying to get down Highway 1 as quickly as they could. Offending people all along the way, because cutting people off is saying, I don't care about you. I've got my agenda. I don't really care. You can't do anything because you're in that car behind me. And I can't hear you screaming at me. That's what happens in traffic. People are rude in traffic, not in the line at the Walmart, because you can talk to them when they're at Walmart. You can't talk to them in their car. and cutting off, offending people so that they can get one step ahead of you in line. And this is the idea I think Paul's going at. May our selfishness not lead to the place to where we are offensive to people so that we get ahead. Well, I see this in business all the time. There's an opportunity for me to advance. I'll just stomp on your toes and smear it in your face and make you look bad and say bad things about you so that I'll get the next position. And I'll look good. That is offending for my own gain. And
We got to watch this. We've got to watch out for this. Even in our family, brothers and sisters, do this. Husbands and wives, do this. If you look bad, I'll look better. That's not the Christian thinking. Nope. If we are criticizing our family members so that we look better, it's a problem. Give no offense to Jews or Greeks or the church of God. If this is happening in church, if you're calling out somebody in the church and saying, well, they don't do this as well as I do, or trying to be critical of someone's work that they're offering to the Lord, what is wrong? It's a problem. Paul says, no, not for my own advantage, but the advantage of many that they may be saved. Paul went proclaiming the gospel so that people in the synagogues could be saved, so they could know Jesus and be saved. Obviously, they needed salvation, so Paul brought it there. He's not saying don't ever offend anybody. He's saying don't offend people for your own advantage. Build relationships with people so they may be saved. Build relationships with people so they can know Jesus. It's what people need. My wife took a picture of something she saw in a store, and I saw it on her camera roll, and it said, when you are blessed, or when you are greatly blessed, build a bigger table, not a higher fence. That's really good. When God blesses us, when He gives us something, make ways to share that blessing rather than to protect and use it for our own advantage. All right, church, so let's wrap it up. God has given us friends, relationships. God has given us blessings. They abound. Let's use them so that others might be saved, so that others might know Jesus, and that Jesus might be glorified. That means we must speak the name of Jesus. Use the word Jesus often so that people know who we identify with, so people know who our Savior is, and so people can find salvation in the name Jesus. So church, speak Jesus' name often. Say Jesus around people who are not churched. Say the word Jesus. It's important because it glorifies God when His name is proclaimed. Say Jesus. Don't say the word Jesus as a slang word. Don't say the word God as a slang word. We say the word Jesus as a praise word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So that others might hear Jesus, see Him, and glorify His name. Church, that's it. That's the simple message. I hope it's simple for us. Use your relationships to glorify God so that people come to know Jesus, not for our own selfish advantage or our own advantage, so that all things work together to proclaim the name of Jesus and we can glorify Him. That's the church. That's what we do. So men of the church, go be the men of the church. Women of the church, go be the women of the church. Children of the church, go be the children of the church, that we might bring glory to God and the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give me an amen, somebody. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, may we glorify the name of Jesus with all of our heart. That's why You have saved us. That's why You've equipped us. That's why You've gifted us. Lord, may we be proclaimers of the name of Jesus. Help us. Help us, God. Help us. Lord, we pray for salvation of souls this morning. Save souls and draw people to know Jesus, that through our works and through our deeds, people might treasure You, O God. People might treasure You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.